Chris Klopek reports from Phoenix. Our campus conference, we had 195 in attendance on Sunday. A lot of the churches there on that coast from Portland, L.A., all went down to be with them, so that was awesome. We had 10 baptisms in March. 2 married, 2 single, 1 teen, and 5 campus. Joe Willis reports from Australia. After deciding to make a stand 3 years ago due to the sad state of the churches in Australia, it has often been difficult, but incredibly refreshing in our journey. I have had to really ask myself, do I really believe the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few? Do I really believe, is God always with me if I hold to the teaching and obey? Is God really with us when there are only 2 or more gathered? For my wife and I being inspired by the example of the Klopeks in Phoenix, amen, in starting again, no matter how few, we found one more couple in the Clocks who joined us. We knew them from our days in the church in London. A sister from an outlying church joined us as well 5 months ago. And since then, we've been having church in our home with some success. But many visitors here in Australia find it strange to meet in a house. So, we set a budget. Kama said amen. God supplied us with a great hall in the center of town for only 80 a week that seats 100 and has great rooms for the kids. This last Sunday, April 5th, we held our official start to the Greater Brisbane Church. Our attendance was 39. I cannot encourage you enough to let this news go out to all the stranded small groups without a full-time staff or in difficult situations. While it's been a real struggle, it has also been worth it. We have been marked by those who have misunderstood us, shunned by those who call themselves Christians, and separated by those who would want us to separate from you, whom we call brothers. Amen. In L.A., the Lord blessed them in their missions contribution, and a couple weeks ago they gave over $127,000. That money will allow them to continue support of the Sullivans in Santiago and to send Javier Ochoa to become a full-time intern in Santiago and to put Michael and Michelle Williamson on full-time in L.A. so they can train to lead the church to London in 2010. The official planting. So exciting is also the formation of new remnant groups in Monterrey, Mexico, Manila, Philippines, and Moscow, Russia. Amen. Next from Matt Sullivan in Santiago. Thank you so much, brothers and sisters in Los Angeles. Your love for the disciples around the world is amazing. Your sacrifice is an example to all of us to imitate. Your special contribution encourages me. And everyone here is very grateful. There are 300 million lost souls in South America. And many more in Mexico and Central America and the Caribbean that speak Spanish. Without sacrifice, there is no hope. And for that, we want to thank you from Santiago. To encourage you and encourage my Bible talk, I worked hard and prayed and brought 3 visitors, and a brother who hasn't brought anyone in 9 months had a visitor out this week. Suriname also had another baptism in their small church last night. So you have a new brother named Rakes. That's a cool name, Rakes. Amen. And finally, let me read you this from our brother Kip. He wrote this the day after Easter. The email reports I got on Easter were very encouraging. One began with these words, God's movement is multiplying. Today, I received emails from Tim Kernan of London and Matt Sullivan of Santiago detailing the multiplication in the movement. Tim writes, I just want to take a minute here to thank God for all the incredible things He's doing through DJ and Casey. Their weekly discipling of Leanne and I has changed our lives and our marriage. Their discipling of the London church and through us the churches in Kinshasa, Kiev, Nairobi, and Tanzania has resulted in amazing fruit. Kinshasa and Kiev have turned around from churches with ineffective Bible talks to churches with multiplying Bible talks. Kiev has gone from 50 Christians to over 70 in the last year. Kinshasa recently had a service just under 300 people attending. London went from a church that was struggling to baptize to a church with regular baptisms, including 3 this past Sunday. The ministry of the Commisfords has created a visible difference and undeniable change for so many people. I'm excited to see what will happen after DJ and Casey preach in Kiev this week. Amen. Matt shared about the Spirit's work in Chile. God bless us today. Well, tell you what. So much good is going on. Let me just move forward. Anthony Echols down Orlando. They baptized last week a UCF football player. The church has been fasting and praying. God would open doors on campus. This guy is 6'5" and they call him the Hulk. And he's an evangelistic machine. Lord willing, his friend Christian is going to get baptized tonight at 10. We call him Little Hulk. And his girlfriend Ashley, Lord willing, will get baptized this week as well. That's from Orlando. Also, Anthony Sylvai of Mumbai is encouraged that remnant group disciples from Aurangabad, Pune, Palasa, Hyderabad, Chennai, and Bangalore in India will attend their service on May 3rd. Amen. Ron Harding shares a former atheist, Fanthia, came to faith and was baptized in Portland today. DJ and Casey are fired up. Another new brother, Victor, was baptized in the now warmer waters of the Hudson River. Kyle Bartholomew of Honolulu was excited about their car wash for missions. They sold $1,400 worth of tickets before Saturday, and the grand total was over $2,500 for their car wash. I just want to encourage any ministries still fighting to meet missions, man, wash some cars. Ladies, you're having Women's Day next week. Guys, get out there and do a car wash. We can do them this spring. A lot of people need those cars washed, and you can make some money for the kingdom. Amen. Also in L.A., though Satan stopped 4 people who we thought were going to be baptized today, still Roland, met by Ken Zindler at Starbucks, was baptized. He's 30 years old and a former Marine, a graduate of USC in accounting. At the end of his sharing, before he was baptized, he said, in the Marines, we have a saying. How do you say it? Semper Fi. I was going to say Semper Fi, so I'm glad Semper Fi sounds better. Which means faithful to the end. This is my decision for Christ. Multiplication is happening, guys. We, along with a number of other churches, have put forward some funds so that Kip and Elena can take a trip around the world, basically. The end of April, early May, before they come here, they're going on a trip to go encourage these pillar little groups of remnant people that could be bases for pillar churches around the world. They're going to travel to London, then to Moscow, then to Australia, and then over to India to be with Raja and Debbie. So please be praying for this trip. You know what an impact it is when Kip and Elena visit. Imagine visiting a group, a small group of disciples with no full-time leader. The power that can happen. I'm begging you to be praying for this trip. And then we get to hear all about it when they come here. Does that encourage you that we're not alone here in Chicago? Romans 12, verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, not Murphy. I'm sure, amen. Mercy. offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Okay, we're going to break this down a little bit. Verse 1, in view of God's mercy, I want to encourage you to offer your body as living sacrifice. So as a church, just to get our hearts on right, the first step is getting God's mercy in view. If we're living and not viewing God's mercy in our lives, there's no reason to change. But when we see God's mercy, then we decide to offer our bodies as living sacrifices. Now, a sacrifice you normally think of as something you kill. They would sacrifice goats, sacrifice rams. And so they would kill that animal. It would be sacrificed. God wants us to be living sacrifices, which means we put our self-will to death and we let Christ live through us on this earth. And therefore, we're different people. Where we would complain and gripe, we don't complain and gripe. Now, going on to verse 2, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed in the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. So we get that mercy in mind, and it changes who we are. Guys, there's a whole world out there. You're around it every day, right? And it wants you to go a certain direction. But when you become a true disciple of Jesus Christ, you go against the grain. And we decide, I don't want to conform anymore to the pattern of the world, which is self. And so, we start to change. We deny ourselves. We offer our bodies as living sacrifices. And the Bible says, this is your spiritual act of worship. Okay, I love worship music. I love it. When Hillary sings, when Christina sings, when Maria sang last week, you know, it moves me to tears. But too many people go sit in church and listen to the music and get all high on it. That's not worship to God. True worship is how we live. And guys, as a church, that's our vision. And only when we stop conforming to the world, when we say no, not in a big old grand way, but every little day, every little decision, then you can figure out what God's will for your life really is. Now, verse 3. For by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think more highly of yourself than you ought. But rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. You know, one of the patterns of the world is to be really full of ourselves. And it can be outward and boasting, like, I'm awesome. Or it can be really quiet. Oh, okay. But inside, we do what makes us feel good. We think of ourselves highly. Therefore, whatever decision I make, number one criteria is, how's it going to make me feel? Right? As opposed to not thinking of ourselves more highly than we ought. Guys, and I really want to talk about this today. And this is the meat of what we're here for. How's the church going to go forward? Okay? Where are we going to go this spring? We're going to talk about that in a second. But it starts with us not thinking more highly of ourselves than we ought. Well, it starts with God's mercy. It continues with us laying our lives down and deciding, I'm not going to conform anymore. I'm going to live for Christ. But then this weird thing happens. We do something good for Christ. We get praised for it. And then we think, I am pretty awesome for the Lord, aren't I? No. Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought. God's the one that gave you that talent and ability in life to do the awesome thing you did. And before He transformed your mind with His mercy, you weren't doing the very awesome stuff anyway. Right? But on the other end, don't be all falsely humble hey, could you do this? You're really good at this. Could you do that? Oh, no, man. No. You know, I don't want to do myself to be seen in front of people, you know. That is false humility. It's really insecurity. It's really you're doing it for yourself. Because you're like, no, I don't want to do it because then I'll get praised. You want to do it so God will get praised. Right? So I want to lock into every single one of your hearts right now. Because God's given you something. He's given you many somethings. And He wants to use you in a powerful way. You can't be all falsely humble about your gifts. And you can't be all insecure about your gifts. You've got to lay your life out of the way. Do everything you do for God. And if it's awesome, He gets the glory. If it's not, hey, He still loves you. Get up and try again. Right? Okay. Verse 4. Just as each of us has one body and many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Okay, let's get this concept down. We form the body of Christ. All right? Now, I want you to take a second and check out your own body. Okay? Your own body. You got a lot of members, your own body. Right? You got your ears that you're hearing me with. You got your eyes that you're seeing me with. You got your nose. Hopefully you're not smelling me with. Amen. You have all these members. And we know from the scriptures in 1 Corinthians, thank God we're not all the same. Because what if our whole body was an eye? Where would the sense of hearing be? What if our whole body was an ear? Where would our sense of smell be? So, you don't have to worry about being different. God already made you different. We don't need the ear. Well, I'm afraid to really hear good. You know, I want to be different here, man. I want to be different. Just be the ear, man. Or if you're a nose, well, you know, I need to be different than most noses. No, you don't, because then I won't be able to smell. Just be a nose. Are you with me? I need you to figure out what are you? What's your role in the body? And everybody's valuable. You know, I think of my body. And I think first of my ankles. Because they don't work. Right? I wear braces on both feet. But you know what? I'm pretty grateful for my ankles. Because I'm not sitting in a wheelchair. Which I did for part of my life. And we have Leah sitting in a wheelchair. And when I said eyes to see, I thought of her. Because she's lost her sight. And I think of her because she's lost a leg. Am I going to complain about my ankles? Now Leah could find someone that's lost both their arms. So she can be very grateful. I remember I would go visit a man in a long-term facility in not quite Queens, Roosevelt Island, New York. It's between Queens and Manhattan. And he was in a wheelchair, and his legs were shriveled, and his arms were shriveled. And it happened because one night he came out of a bar drunk, tripped on the curb, and got pulled by a vehicle. He got paralyzed from not using the limbs, they shriveled. This guy always had the biggest smile you ever saw. And I remember saying to him, I lead a church over Manhattan. I would really like to bring all of them over to meet you and see you and that you do not complain. Because we can complain about our lot in life when we ought to be grateful. And he just smiled and said, well, what am I supposed to do? Would he be better off to sit there and be upset all day? No, he chooses to be happy. He chooses to be grateful for life. And so, whatever your situation is, I think of my ankles, they don't work, but I'm very grateful. I don't want for something different. I'm fine, but I appreciate every part. You know, the weaker parts of the body are indispensable. And so, you have a fine role and a very important role in the body just because you are who God made you to be. Now, the only thing that will decrease that isn't other people fulfilling their roles and making you feel bad that you're not a different part of the body. The only thing that makes you feel bad is if you don't fulfill your role before God. See, maybe, let's just say, you're the foot. But when the hand grabs something awesome, you're like, man, I'm not awesome because I didn't just grab that. No! Remember, I just need you to be a foot so I can walk over and grab it. We're all very, very important. And your role is very important. We're unique. God made us unique. Don't worry about being different. A lot of people want to, well, I got to be different. Why? So you'll be cool and stick out. Don't be different. The only different you need to be like Jesus. You'll be different enough. But when we're all trying to be like Jesus in His church, there'll be many ways we're very similar. Very similar. For while we're different in our abilities or in our talents, we need to all have the same heart for God, the same mind for God, the same commitment to God, the same love for His kingdom. I'll give everything for the kingdom. And that's our heart. I think of basketball teams. Today, the NBA playoffs begin. Every team has people with different talents. Are you with me? So maybe there's someone who's a real three-point threat. Someone else is not. But they're a great dribbler. They're a great point guard. They're great at distributing the ball. We need them to use those talents. But if Jason Kidd is at the point and Jason Terry's not open, Kidd may take a three-pointer himself and make it. What I'm saying is, just because three-point shooting is your specialty don't mean you can't dribble the ball. Just because three-point shooting isn't your specialty don't mean you should never do it. What am I getting at? Follow with me. Verse 6. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it's teaching, let him teach. Encouraging, let him encourage. If it's contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it's leadership, let him govern diligently. If it's showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Okay. What am I getting at? Well, some people say, my gift isn't evangelism. My gift is encouraging people. So because of that, I'm not going to evangelize. Or I'm not going to share my faith. That's a sin. There are people in the religious world that actually teach evangelism's a gift. If you don't have it, you don't have to do it. No, evangelism might be a gift. And there are some of us that are much better gregarious people than others. But anybody that has a mouth and the gospel in their heart and doesn't have the courage to speak up to a neighbor that's dying and going to hell, that's not lack of a gift of evangelism. That's a lack of love. So what I'm saying is, I want to inspire us going forward to the spring to figure out what are your best gifts and use them for God. But we need you to strive to be good at a lot of things. Amen? So, I want to break down this list we just read a little bit, but in a few different words that may be more in our modern day vernacular. Before I do, I'm going to say one more thing about according to our faith. Here, it says, if your gift is prophesying. Now, that was derivative of the prophets, right? The prophets came from God and told of God's plan, told of God's will. And many times, their preaching was current and for the future. There were prophecies about Jesus coming that were fulfilled. Now, when we talk about being prophets today, we don't need to predict the future. We're already told right here what's going to happen in the future. So if you proclaim it, you're a prophet. You don't need to say there's something new that you were told, because now you're a false prophet. If it ain't in the Bible, we don't need to be prophetizing it. You know what I'm saying? But if you're a prophet, prophesy in accordance with the faith God's given you. Don't go out there and preach something you don't have the faith to do yourself. Because that's just hypocritical. Now, many would go, oh, I don't have faith to share my faith, so I'm not going to preach others to share their faith. My heart's totally not wrapped around the missions contribution, so I'm not going to preach to others that they should give missions. No, that's not what we want. We want you to repent and share your faith and love people. And once you repent and love God's kingdom enough to sacrifice and get your heart around missions, not to give beyond your means, unless that's where your faith is, but to give in faith before God, knowing without money, there'll be no church plantings. But only when you've invested and owned God's plan in your life will you call others to it. Amen? So, I'm going to share with you five roles that I want to encourage you this spring to become better at than you currently are. Some of you may naturally be one than the other, but I want to ask all of you, if every member of our church strives to be great in these areas, it's going to be amazing. Five roles. Number one, be a bringer. Be a bringer. No one is going to hear the gospel unless we bring them to hear the gospel. Now, what are these gifts? Maybe it's prophesying. Maybe it's just the greater gift of love. But we need to bring people to church. And some people are more naturally gifted at it than others. But anybody can bring people to church. Now, I have a surprise. We have a phrase in the church that a brother in L.A. coined, Vic Jr. When something isn't all that awesome, he says, man, that's weak sauce. That's weak sauce, man. Vic is Spanish. And Spanish people don't want to use no weak sauce. They want to use hot sauce. Now, I understand Spanish people may not use this kind of hot sauce. But I grew up in Texas, so I kind of like Louisiana hot sauce. This is the perfect hot sauce. Or so they say. Well, 1 Thessalonians 5 tells us to honor those who work hard among us, to hold them in high regard and love because of their work. So today, I want to honor some people. With the Chicago International Christian Church Spring Congregational Devotional Hot Sauce Award. So, the Hot Sauce Bringer Award. Because there's some people that work very hard and need to be honored and held in high regard and love because they work to bring people. And they may be specially gifted in this area, or they may just work really hard. But I think of a number of people. I think of Pat Jr. I think of Maria DeBars, who had 7 people at Bible Talk this week. I think of Mark Hill. There's the reason Tom's sitting out there. I think of Tina, young Christian, bringing people. I think of Will. But I want to give the 2009 Spring Hot Sauce Award to one of our awesome bringers, Kathy Borosik. Come on down. down, baby. Role number two. Don't just be a bringer, but strive. Every disciple, whether you're extra gifted or not, needs to strive to be a converter. Someone that can take that person that comes and study all the studies, count the cost with them, and put them in the water. So, the nominees are Teresa Broome. Anthony Franklin. Jay Shelbrack. Joe Parlor. But the 2009 Spring Congregational Devotional Hot Sauce Converter Award is clear as a bell. 7 teen and campus women so far this year have been converted by Brittany Parlor. Come on. Third role. Once you bring them, once you convert them, we need people that are gifted at this, but we need everyone to strive. Learn to be a nurturer. What are the gifts? If you encourage, then encourage. If you show mercy, do it cheerfully. You know, when you're showing mercy to the poor, to the needy, to the weak, don't do it like it's a chore. Do it cheerfully. And the nominees are Roger and Kim Parlor. How about for some of our most challenged members, Joe Cipetta. As a nurturer, Denise Cipetta. But the winner of the 2009 Spring Congregational Devotional Hot Sauce Nurturer Award for their work with CR, middle school, wherever they're needed, Pat and Pam Bouye. Accepting on behalf of Pat and Pam is Pam. Now, once you bring them, convert them, nurture them, when you learn to be good at all three of these, we need you to be recognized as a leader. Amen. If your gift is leading, then you need to govern diligently. This is super duper challenging. You know, and for those striving to be leaders, you'll see how hard it is. With Andrew Smelly coming to town, he can tell you when he's being trained to be an evangelist. He'd have 10 things to do. He'd get 9 just right. We'd have a little talk in Jesus about the 10th ball that got dropped. Because when the buck stops with you, it's challenging. You need your arms lifted up. If you're going to lead, then lead. That's what leaders do. Not by title, but by life. There's an ownership those people exhibit. One is not enough. I need 2. And I could go through all the nominees, but I'm just going to have 2 brothers come forward that I believe the future of this church and the future of other churches rest on us raising up evangelists in the kingdom of God. And I believe right now 2 men have distinguished themselves above and beyond all others, and we love everybody. But we need this to be honored. Because they work hard for the kingdom. The first one is with our campus teens and young singles ministry. 2009 Congregational Spring Devotional Hot Sauce Leader Award goes to Guys, I'm super proud of Joel. If I text Joel, call Joel, need something, I hear within seconds back from Joel. You don't see what he does all day, every day. It is a lot. I can't imagine where we'd be without Joel. And so I want to hold you in high honor and love, bro, because of your work with this ministry. We're so grateful. And I want you to be praying for Joel's training as an evangelist in the kingdom of God. But it doesn't end there with the young singles. We have some more mature singles, different stages of life, and single parents, and our marriage ministry. And so, I believe there's another man who's distinguished himself, and God is distinguished, with training and experience above all. So the 2009 Spring Congregation Devotional Hot Sauce Leader Award goes to... And I super appreciate the women's ministry. Because where would we be without the 2009 Spring Congregation Devotional Hot Sauce Women's Leader Award? And I might be a little biased, but I sure do think my wife works doggone hard for the women. Once we got someone to bring them, and let's all strive to be like Kathy, amen? Once someone converts them, and let's learn to convert people like Brittany. You got to want it, though. Let's learn to nurture like Pat and Pam. Let's learn to lead. Now, not everybody's going to be in the ministry. Not everybody's going to be on staff. We need leaders on the Bible talk level. And if you're going to be a Christian like Jesus, Jesus was a leader. You can lead people to Christ. Fifth, we need everybody to be givers. Givers and not takers. Amen? And I think of giving, I think of if your gift is giving, give generously. If it's contributing, contribute generously. And then I just think of serving. If it's serving, let them serve. So it can be with our time, it can be with our money. But I want to call every member this spring, be a giver. Excel in giving. Maybe financial giving is not what you excel at, but you can still give. Mark Hill, the other day, because he has such a heart for missions, Clemmer told me he just left the house and went and knocked every door in his neighborhood, just asking people to give to missions. Maybe he didn't have a lot of money. Some of you have a lot more money and gave a lot more money, but that's the heart. And you see it in Mark's evangelism. You see it in his wanting to give, even though it's not his gift to give. I got an email this morning from my brother, my middle brother. He's going to donate from his family $50 in my Stepping Up for World Missions. So that was awesome. If you don't put that out there, though, it can't get blessed. We have a lot of givers, guys. We have a lot of nominees. My goodness, this is hard to choose. But I think of all our song leaders. I want to thank all our song leaders right now. I think of those that have labored with CR, not just the Bouyers, but Clemmer, and all those that have labored with CR. The Spanish ministry, the La Puerta, the food they provide, and JC, who manages it every Sunday morning. Amen. How about those that have helped and served in ways with our sisters, with Irene and with Leah, especially Kathy, Eileen, and Mary, who have helped them come into the church and from, and all those that have helped serve our sisters there. I think of the ushers with Mark Hill and Tom Sperling and Mary and who else? Who am I missing? Pete Durgan, absolutely. I think of Bob and Barb and all the teachers that serve. Man, they're amazing. How about setup? Greg, Dre, Henry, Omar, Theo Jr., Joel, Clemmer, Joel Parlour, Pat Jr., who else? Victor right over there. There's so many people to thank there. I think it's Joel with the website and all those pictures taken by Dave Cadell. Yeah, and then I just want to, I was really afraid here. Who else did I not think that we need to thank as a church for their service? Amen. Who else? Did I miss somebody? For security, that's exactly right. Yeah. Eileen bringing the food to help people, sure, absolutely. Everybody in leadership, amen. Thank you, Barb, for that. How about the McMurray girls for all the help they do setting up in the morning? They do a lot of work in the morning. Yes, we did mention that, yep. Okay, amen. Now, but I want to give a special service award to someone that's contributed way beyond her means for missions, way beyond, and who is available to serve at the drop of a hat. And we've got some great hearts. I think of the young sisters, Nikki and Maria, just, you know, Will, Cornell, just some incredible serving hearts. This sister, from day one, I've seen a heart of service. Whether it's financially or otherwise. 2009 Spring Congregational Service Award, hot sauce, Maria Cortez. I have one more. This one is different than all the others. It's the perfect habanero hot sauce. It actually has the words fiery flavor. And it says, one drop does it. When it comes to serving the church, and again, everybody's a servant. And everybody's appreciated. This woman works so much you don't even know she does. Plus a job. And all we pay her is $100 a week. And before we moved from Syracuse, she was full time doing what she does. Administrating the church. If your gift is administration, administrate. But she could have another job. And she doesn't get thanked near like she should. But I can tell you, as far as her gifts go, guys, if it weren't for Kama Parlour, I don't know where we'd be. She works a couple nights a week after work just doing the budgeting and financing and paying the bills. And so, the Habanero Special Hot Award, our dear servant sister, Kama Parlour. But Kama, Joel, Brittany all got some hot sauce, but Roger's going to get to put it on his food. Isn't that hot? Amen. We're almost to the end, guys. Going forward in the spring, this church can do amazing things. It'll do more amazing things if I can spur you on in the Lord. Every member, find out where you're specially gifted and bring it. And teach us how to do it better. If it's nurturing, teach us how to nurture better. If it's bringing people, teach us your techniques, baby, and your heart. If it's converting, teach people around you the first principles. And let me say to you, if you don't know how to lead all studies, bring somebody and ask your Bible Talk leader to let you lead the studies and watch it. It's that simple. Raise up to be leaders. We need you. But everybody to be a giver. Now, I said earlier jokingly, we were going to call a spade and then play some spades, right? I need to challenge the church on this one. We've really done a bad job this spring. And I rarely say that to the church. But we have not been men and women of our words. The Bible says, let your yes be yes and your no, no. Anything beyond that is from the evil one. I don't know why. This church has always given a pledge and given beyond it. But last January, we took new pledges so we could assess our budget. And ever since we took them, we've been well under them. And what that means is we've been going very negative as a church. And if we don't hit our missions, we're in trouble. We may need to let somebody go off staff next month. So, I'm not asking you, hey, raise your contribution. But if you can, you ought to. I'm asking you to be a man or woman of your word. And if you vowed to give a certain pledge, and you don't give it, and you don't talk about it, it's Ananias and Sapphira. You're not lying to me or Kemba. You're lying to the Lord. And you're hurting His church. So, if your pledge is right, give what you vowed to give. If it's not, see Kemba. Work, change your pledge. We brought some pledge cards today that Kemba will have. As she's, I think she'll be registering women for Women's Day. So there'll be some pledge cards there too. For our young Christians that have never given a pledge, pray about this. Have a biblical conviction and give a pledge to the church what you're going to give and honor that weekly. This is how we decide what we can do. And let me tell you something. We'll never evangelize the world without evangelists. Brittany was reminding me of a conversation we had back at Lorado's birthday party that I didn't remember, but I do remember it. Where we had a talk about, you know, if women don't have ambition to be a woman's ministry leader, well, you know, if I can, I can. I'll serve God. But if not, I'm content to do whatever. Okay. But if we don't have women that go, I'm going to sacrifice. If it's God's will, if He's given me talent, I'm going to serve and grow and be a women's ministry leader. If we don't, there'll be no church plantings. None. If there wasn't a Patrick Smelly, there would not have been a Washington, D.C. church planting. Period. So there's the false humility. If you've been given talents and you don't use them, you're cheating God. So don't be falsely humble. Use what God gave you and then give Him the glory when He blesses you. But we need women's ministry leaders and we need evangelists with all those other roles or there's no church plantings. I'll tell you what else we need or there's no church plantings. Money. You guys with me? If there's no money, we wouldn't have planted this church. If there's no money, Washington, D.C. wouldn't have been planted. If there's no money, there wouldn't be a ministry in India. There wouldn't be someone, Juan Carlos, supporting the Spanish ministry. And on and on. You with me? So, make a pledge. Faithful. Talk about it if you need help. Get discipling in your finances. But give what you vowed to give. I expect, going forward in the spring, whatever our pledge is, that's what we'll be given. Because Christians aren't liars. And Christians aren't cowards. that if you need to have a conversation, hey, maybe you need to lower it. But let's talk it out. Is that good? Yesterday, I was running my 30 flights. And I was doing my push-ups. And I was trying to pump myself up. And so I was saying, I got this. I got this. And I was on the last 10 stairs. And I was saying, I got this. I got this. And on the last step, I tripped. And thank God there was a brick wall and I just grabbed myself. But I was praying at the time and I kept praying. And I was praying, God, when you think you're finished, before you're finished, you're going to fall. Church, we're not finished with Women's Day yet. If you don't finish it, you'll trip and fall this week. Women and men, invite women. Get them there Saturday, a week from today, and finish the Women's Day. Amen. Next Sunday's missions. We're not there yet, but don't quit now. I want you to light up those emails, light up those texts. You better get, you know, unlimited texts this week. And you text every little new piece of news that you get. You know, we hear the inspiring stuff every day of what people are doing. Something else sold on eBay. What else can you sell? Who else can we ask? I got the email from my brother this morning. There's 50 more dollars. Mark goes out and knocks. There's 10 more dollars. If you don't finish it, you'll trip. Let's finish the mission's contribution. There's a question we ask in the follow-up Acts studies. If everyone in the church was like me, what kind of church would this be? I think that's appropriate today. If everyone in the church was like me, what kind of church would this be? Now, God's taking care of the fact that everybody's not like you. So we have all different gifts. I'm talking about in heart. I want you this spring, strive that you can be an example. That if others imitate you, the church will be a better place. Amen. And if you're weak, we're going to grab your hand and pull you up. If you're timid, we're going to confess our timidity, put our arm around you, and go out and share our faith together. And if you're idle, we're going to take a deep gulp and lovingly try to speak the truth and warn you so you can repent. Amen, guys? And this can be an amazing spring.